Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. This week, we want to introduce you to some folks who are using art to reach across barriers. Faiza El-Masri and Faith Lapidus take us to Leesburg, Virginia, where folks at the Clay and Metal Loft are making both art and community.
They form something like a bracelet, and it's just, they're excited. They think, I made this.
Then we travel to Chicago, where Mariama Diallo tells us that art is helping neighbors bridge racial and cultural divides across Sedgwick Street.
If I live on this side of Sedgwick and they live on this side of Sedgwick and I want to get to know who they is, I'm going to have to cross the street either way. It goes from both ways.
Bridging our divisions using art on this week's American Cafe. Do you have a favorite piece of art? Do you like Eastern, Western, or African art over others? Do you think the arts can be used to unite people? This week, we want to look at a couple of stories where art is breaking down cultural, racial, and ethnic barriers. Our first stop is in Leesburg, Virginia, where two artists founded a space where they could work and teach other art lovers as well. It's part retail business and part studio, but it's called Clay and Metal Loft, and it helps aspiring local artists gain the skills and confidence needed to start their own businesses. However, as Faiza El-Masri and Faith Lapidus tell us, the founders have discovered a bigger dream, that they want their space to energize the community.
Make that round, and then we're going to stick our thumb in.
In the clay hand-building class, ceramist Amy Manson shares some of her techniques with participants who come twice a week.
Today's project is hand sculpting and sculpting through a pinch pot process a pumpkin. So you're making two pinch pots, enclosing them to make a round orb, and then sculpting it to look like a pumpkin. The first time might be a little scary. They're not sure. They're a little intimidated on how hard to push or how the clay is going to react. But after one time, they get a little more confident. Once you've got the air trap, you can still sculpt and fix and do what you need to do.
Many of the students have a background in arts and want to hone their skills and learn different techniques. Barbara Johnson started doing pottery 3 years ago.
Having your hands in clay is just this calming kind of thing. And it's so creative because you may start out thinking you're going to make this piece, and it turns into something totally different.
Recently, Johnson has started selling her work.
I'm humbled a lot of times when someone says that they want to purchase, you know, my things and have them in their home.
Manson's partner, her friend Anne Andre, is a jeweler who creates transformative pieces, like a pendant that can also be worn as a ring.
5 years ago, really started looking to see where we could have this business model. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to do something that was more clay and jewelry making, because we didn't see anything like that before.
This is a perfect fit.
Andre teaches jewelry making classes.
They hammer the metal, they get an effect, you know, that they never thought they could do themselves. They form something like a bracelet, and it's just, they're excited. They think, I made this. And they go out wearing it, which is really nice.
That's how Jennifer Mettish feels when she wears the pendant she made.
I love turquoise. I'm a country girl, grew up around horses. Turquoise has always been just kind of a symbol of that rustic look.
Considering a second career beyond horses, she's finding a potential in jewelry making.
I feel that there has been such a revival of handmade items that people, they're more willing to pay for something that is made by a single artist than something that is mass produced.
And then you can feel how much clay is in the bottom.
The founders of Clay and Metal Loft want to be part of that revival. Through summer camps, they want to inspire kids. And through their monthly ladies' night workshops, they try to help busy professionals unwind. Their goal is to become a creative, fun space for the entire community. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Sedgwick Street in downtown Chicago is a thoroughfare that's divided by race and socioeconomics. Originally settled by German, Irish, and Sicilian immigrants, in the mid-20th century, African-American families, Puerto Ricans, and so-called hippies started moving in. Today, Sedgwick Street remains a social and economic demarcation line between the haves and the have-nots. But, as VOA's Mariama Diallo tells us, one art studio owner hopes to use art to unite this divided neighborhood.
On the west side of Sedgwick stand blocks of subsidized housing, and on the east side, condominiums and luxury homes. Resident Cherise McDaniel describes it as the tale of two cities.
I can see that on one side of the street you have wealthy people, predominantly white, and on the other side of the street I can see that we have poor people, predominantly black.
Some say it would be preferable if the two worlds were more closely integrated.
I wish that I got to know other people in the community more, and that others had as much as I do.
Charlie Branda agrees. She opened an art studio in the neighborhood 3 years ago, and she believes everyone in the community would be much happier if they were more connected.
I think the divisiveness that's kind of taken over our society is something that people are tired of.
The former commercial banker is not an artist, but she hopes a space where art can flourish could unite people from different backgrounds.
I didn't really know how to do art or ceramics, but I thought, well, that if people in the neighborhood could get together and start imagining new possibilities together, then maybe you can have a different kind of neighborhood than what we've always had. Like, the way it is now isn't the way it has to be.
One neighborhood activist says there's really only one way to get to know your neighbor.
If I live on this side of Sedgwick and they live on this side of Sedgwick and I want to get to know who they is, I'm going to have to cross the street either way. It goes from both ways.
This year, Raymond and others helped Branda move across the street where she opened a bigger storefront on the lower income side of the street. A recent art project paired public and private school kids from opposite sides of the neighborhood. The students took photos of one another and turned them into kites. Just small gestures and shared connections. But for Branda and her neighbors, it's a sign of progress in their efforts to unite both sides of Sedgwick Street and make their community whole again. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
To see video of these stories, visit our website, voanews.com. You can leave your questions or comments on our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. Until next time, I'm David Byrd in Washington. Thanks for listening.